For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is good, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, I'm going to be your host today. My name is Caleb, and I love basketball. I love basketball, and I love talking about basketball. We got a fun little three-game slate today. I have not locked in anything yet, but I wouldn't rule it out. We're going to be able to go into a little bit more detail today with only three games on the slate. It's going to be a great Thursday. My varsity basketball team today has a game out against a really good program on the road. I'm just going to try and go in there and just compete. We had a great practice yesterday, so should be a good day for your boy, and I'm excited to get it started with talking some hoop. As usual, right, we got to recap. And again, because we have some more time, I feel like we can not only recap what we played, but recap a little bit of what we saw in the association yesterday. So for me, I went 1-2 yesterday. I lost on Markelle Fultz over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists at minus 104. So pretty minimal juice there. But foul trouble just killed it. I was in practice for the first-ish, most of the first half. And when I pulled it up, he was sitting in the second quarter with three fouls. And so it ended up going to overtime. So we got a little bit of extra minutes. Picked up, and it wasn't even one of those things, right, where foul trouble can hurt you, but you can still get there, right? Let's say you pick up three fouls in the first half. Okay, but you can still play your normal minutes in the second half if all goes well. Kel picked up his fourth foul pretty early in the third, I want to say. So he went down there too. And then what happens too is it's not even just about the minutes. It's about the rhythm, right? You're now, your normal substitution pattern's gone. You're sitting a lot longer. And then you come back in and you don't have a rhythm. You don't have a rhythm. And it was clear. So obviously the wrong side there, but there's very little you can do when you can't lay off a play because your guy might get in foul trouble. Actually, you can, but that's mostly with bigs, not point guards. Anyways, didn't get there. Next play, Joe Harris, over 12.5 points, even odds. That was just a bad play, man. I really felt like there was a correlation to Ben going down and Joe getting a good amount of minutes and a couple extra shots, but he scored 8 points in the first half and then took, like, I think two shots in the second half. In the second half, the Hornets started to really make a run, and it legitimately was Kyrie Irving and KD taking almost every single shot. And when one of those two wasn't taking the shot, it was Seth Curry. So, I could just sit here, own that one. That's a bad bet. That's a bet that should not have been made, but we'll learn from it. Luckily, it was even odds, and no juice. We just lose a unit, and we push forward. And then we were able to get D'Lo over 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists, and that's huge. That's huge to salvage the day because it was not looking good. He picked up two fouls early and played significantly less minutes than he usually does. On top of that, he didn't get any rebounds as well. But again, we love the matchup. We talked about, too, how it was a great matchup. It was a great spot for the Timberwolves. But shout out to the Pacers there. I mean, that's a game we talked about. I like the Wolves in it just because of the rest advantage. It was, the Pacers' third game in four nights, fifth game in seven nights, seven game in 11 nights. And the Timberwolves had been at home for 3 days off of a loss, right? So that's about as brutal of a matchup as you can get. And the Pacers battled, bro. Like, the T-Wolves end up covering it and won by six. But it was a one-point game with, like, 10 seconds left. And then it was tied with 50 seconds left, legitimately. And then the Timberwolves went on a 6-0 run with 50 seconds left. It would have been a crazy cover, but I just honestly want to give a shout out to the Pacers and the way they play basketball and the way they compete. They easily could have packed it in. But D'Lo in foul trouble, only played 27 minutes. Luckily, still got there with 28-4. He went clean off in the fourth to get us home. Unfortunately, obviously a 1-2 day, but it still brings us to 86-74, 7.28 units, and we're still feeling good about overall, you know, how we're seeing the board. I think we should talk about, you know, some of these games that went down. For me, the one that stands out, right, is Suns-Celtics. Like, I really think the Celtics are getting to the point where you just I remember the last time this happened was the Jazz 2 years ago when they were the one seed. And they were just rolling through teams night after night after night. And it just didn't matter with the spot. It didn't matter who they were playing, whether it was a good team or a bad team. It didn't matter if they were at home. Didn't matter if they were on the road. You wanted to back them, and they were going to make you money. And I might be a little bit late to the trend, but I think it's we're at that point where it's like, dude, just hop on this team, right? In Brooklyn, right? Tough spot. Brooklyn's playing good basketball, double-digit win. In Toronto, everyone's on Toronto. Tough spot for the Celtics. They get it done. At Phoenix, CP back. Suns off like a blowout loss against Dallas, and they go blow out the Suns. So, again, we're adding data to what's, you know, how we bet this thing. And obviously, right now, I love the Celtics. But I think, again, we got to look at when star players come back, fade that team. You see it. Chris Paul comes back, they get blown out by 27. And it's not that Chris Paul is not bad. It's not that they won't eventually figure it out with Chris Paul. It's the fact that we've talked about it numerous times. When guys come back, it changes everything. It changes the whole rotation. It changes the whole usage. And you're giving decent amount of usage to a guy who's not quite in rhythm. So just be on the lookout for that. The leans, the strong leans, they hit. Magic cover against the Clippers, win in overtime. Knicks take care of the Hawks easily. Really annoyed at myself for not grabbing the Knicks there again. You guys, if you listened to the pod yesterday, we really did like them. And those really were the strongest leans. Felt like the Kings Bucks was a stay away. Wizards Bulls, I felt like it was a stay away. Surprised by the Pistons, man. Like, they just keep churning out covers, and they were getting blown out for a while there, but they end up coming back and only losing by six. And then I will go to that Raptors-Lakers game. It's just a good reminder that, you know, 10, 11, 12-point spreads are just so brutal, and you have to feel so confident about it. And the Raptors ended up covering 12.5, but they were dominating that whole game, absolutely dominating. The Lakers make a run late when the game is essentially decided. And only lose by 13. But imagine if they made, you know, one more basket, the devastation that can be. So, again, when we bet these large spreads, we've got to feel really good about it. Anyways, guys, we got three games today. Super excited about them. Actually, I mean, they're not like my favorite games, but we're going to talk about them. Let's get into it. All right, so we got the first game of the day. We got the Clippers heading into Miami. And I'm seeing them as 6.5-point dogs today. I waited a little bit to record this because there's this crazy amount of news on both sides, right? Jimmy Butler missed last game, but I think he should be in. Max Strus is probable. Tyler Herro's probable. Victor Oladipo's probable. Duncan Robinson's probable. And then Kyle Lowry got ruled out this morning, so I think they're just going to rest him today, right? So there's a lot of in and out on that team. On the other side, there's a ton of in and out that we got going on there. Kawhi Leonard's going to be out. Terrence Mann's going to be out. Norman Powell's going to be out. It's weird because Norman Powell absolutely lit up the Blazers and then like a week ago and then has not played since. And they literally interviewed him after the game and talking about the back-to-back. And they're like, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be ready to go. And literally hasn't played in a week. So I don't know, maybe something flared up. But yeah, you're probably going to see a starting lineup like Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Amir Coffey, Marcus Morris, Ivica Zubac. And I think it's important to talk about, you know, where these two teams are at right now. And with the Heat, it's weird because, you know, I felt like and the production on the court seemed like they had turned a corner, right? They had been dealing with injuries for a lot of November, right? Tyler Herro missed a lot of time. Jimmy Butler missed a significant amount of time. Bam Adebayo played, but he was injured for a little bit. And so, really, I mean, just Herro and Butler alone is enough, right, to really put a dent in your health and obviously a dent in the production on the court. But end of November, they started getting some of these guys back. It started with a game at home against the Wizards. They got Tyler Hero back, and they won by 8. We were actually on them in that game. And then they had a back-to-back set with the Wizards, played them again, and won by 3. Then they went into Atlanta and won by 8. And so I'm sitting here like, damn, you know, this team's maybe turning a little bit of a corner. Then they play Boston. They end up losing by 13, but that was without Jimmy Butler. And they were very competitive. And it was a game that kind of just got away from them at the end. But for the majority of that game, they were in it, right? So you're still on this idea that, hey, this team's picking it up. They're kind of finding their stride. And then we had him that second game against Boston again. Anytime you play a team twice in a row, you usually come with a pretty good effort. And they got Jimmy Butler back. So we were on him in that game, and they ended up winning in Boston in OT. And so now you're sitting here, right? Like, okay, they legitimately won 5 out of 6 with the only loss being to the Celtics without Jimmy Butler. And you're like, all right, the Heat have turned a corner. And then guess what happens, right? You go into Memphis, Jimmy Butler sits all of a sudden, and you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and John Conchar, which, again, it's not like the Grizzlies are this dog shit team, but, you know, that's what they close as 5.5-point favorites. That's a game that you want to see them win, right? We were on them. That was a game I definitely wanted to see them win. But you're like, all right, right? Again, when teams are without their star players, they generally play up. All right, it happens. Back-to-back set then, and they go play Detroit at home off of that gross loss to Memphis and get blown out by 20 to the Detroit Pistons, which, again, they deserve some respect with the way they're playing. But at the same time, like, let's be honest, you got to win that game. So now you're sitting here, and it's like, all right, over the last 5-7 games, you've been a lot better. But in the last 2, it's been pretty bad, right? Meanwhile, in the Clippers, you get Kawhi and you get PG back. And you've had it for really these two teams are almost kind of similar. Not necessarily in the construction, but in how they function. Where they're two teams that are veteran teams that have been to the playoffs, who, you know, when they play their best basketball, are a pretty damn good basketball team. But they're two teams that have not really played their best basketball, and on top of that, have missed a lot of games from their stars. So it's like it's really hard to form like a where are you at now, because they're dealing with injuries and they're dealing with you know, star players being out. But even when they've been back, it hasn't been amazing. And they both had some good stretches, but more often than not, it's been bad stretches for both these teams. And so with the Clippers, they, again, we're without Kawhi and PG, and they beat Indiana at home. They go into Portland and beat Portland. That was so annoying, right? We had Portland. They were dominating and blew that. Then they go into Utah on a back-to-back, lose that game, host Sacramento, get blown out, and then they get their studs back. And again, when you get your studs back, you still are going to struggle a little bit with the rhythm, but they did enough to get a win in Charlotte by 2. And then they go to OT against Orlando. Those are two teams on the East Coast that are not great, right? That are legitimately not great. And now it sets up this match with Miami. So for me, with where we're at, I think you're getting motivated versions of both these teams, right? Miami's off 2 straight, just really bad L's. And the Clippers are off an L back to back. It's not a great rest spot for either of these two teams, right? This is a back-to-back for the Clippers. At least they didn't play Tuesday, but this is their third game in 4 nights. And it's also the third game in 4 nights for the Heat. It's not a back-to-back for them, but they played Monday and Tuesday. They didn't play yesterday, and now they play Thursday. So it's a 3rd and 4 for both of them. That would probably point towards the under. But for me, I'm leaning the Clippers here. I think for me, I'd give the Heat, in this scenario, I don't know, 2.5-3, which makes it 5.5-6. It's 6.5. Oh, now it's down to 6. Yeah, like, it's just tough. I don't think I'm going to have a play on this one, to be honest. I think this line's – I'd rather take the Clippers. I really would rather take the points. I think this probably grinds into a pretty – close game. Like, I think the Clippers are going to be competitive in this game. And it's not like Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Amir Coffey, Marcus Morris, Ivica Zubac is a bad team, right? You're still going to get plenty the production from these guys. You still have Luke Kennard coming off the bench. You still have Robert Covington. Right, like there's still guys that are going to get minutes here. And with Miami, you're not playing your best basketball right now. And you got Kyle Lowry out, which is not like the end of the world. But he matters. He matters. So for me, I'm leaning Clippers at 6.5. I might have taken him. It's back down to 6, which I probably won't take there. But I'm not tripping off the back-to-back either, right? It's a 3rd and 4 for the Heat as well. They should have some tired legs. I would lean Clippers here, but I don't know that I'm going to take it personally. Next game, Rockets and Spurs. And I can't lie. You know, just off the dome, usually I have an off-the-dome feel, off-the-dome read. I don't with this game. I've kind of checked out, right? We were on the, if you follow the show at all, follow me at all, you know, I was on the Spurs a decent amount early on in the year and they made us some money. And I didn't quite get out in time, right? They did lose me some money as well, but I've been off of them for a while. And for good reason. This team has been the absolute worst team in the league for about a month now. Not maybe a little bit less than a month, but they've been the worst team in the league. I don't know. Have they covered a game? Like, it's funny because they had a crazy ass schedule, right? But now they've had time to be off. Now they've had time to recharge. And I'm waiting for this moment. But like, dude, I don't know that they've covered a game in like 10 games straight up. Like, they didn't cover against the Warriors. I think they may have covered at 7.5 or it may have pushed against Portland. So maybe that. But they didn't cover against the Kings, didn't cover against the Clippers, didn't cover against the Lakers, didn't cover against the Pels, didn't cover against the Lakers, didn't cover against the Lakers again, didn't cover against OKC, didn't cover against the Pels, didn't cover against Phoenix. They haven't covered a game in half a month. They haven't covered a game in like 4 weeks, right? So like, there's just no way I'm backing this team. There's no way in hell I'm backing this team. And obviously the books are, they're giving them 4 points to the Houston Rockets, who are also pretty abysmal. But, like, I don't know how you can back this team. And the thing is, too, like, the Spurs have all the rest in the world now, right? Like, since November 26th, right, what's today? Today's December 8th. Since November 26th, that's 4 or 5. That's, like, 12 days. They've played 3 games. They played the Thunder last Wednesday. They played the Pelicans Friday. They played the Suns Sunday. And then they haven't played since Sunday. So they are really rested. But they're really bad. They're just really bad. And key guys are out. Like Jeremy Sochan, who's not like the biggest deal right now, is out. Jakob Poeltl's out. Kaede Bates-Diop is out. I don't think Devin Vassell is going to play today. You're going to get some bench and some depth guys back, like Josh Richardson and Doug McDermott, which help. But, like, this team is playing abysmal basketball, and they just don't have any defense. Like, they just 133 points given up against the Suns, 117 points given up against the Pelicans, 119 given up against the Thunder, 143 given up against the Lakers, 105 against the Lakers, woohoo, 129, 123, 119, 130, 117, 132. Like, dude, this team hasn't given up, like, less than 113 points like in a month. But meanwhile, you go on the other side, it's not like the Rockets are not like good though, right? They're better than the Spurs, but it's like this team on any given night, bro, can suck it up, especially on the road. But they have trended better lately. They beat the Suns in Phoenix. Then they lose by 19 to the Warriors, but they were at least competitive. And then they get a big overtime win against the Sixers. So, I mean, going through this, I like the Rockets, man. I do. Again, they're still going to struggle against good teams, but I do think they're playing much better basketball than the San Antonio Spurs are. And after talking through this, I may have to be on them. Just like the Celtics are almost like an auto bet, the Spurs at this point are almost like an auto fade, and I don't think the front office is that mad right now. Obviously, you're playing bad basketball, and you don't want to play bad basketball, but they are racking up the L's at a historic rate right now, and their head is straight towards Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. Like, there is no one losing as prolifically as this Spurs team is right now in prolific fashion. Like, dude, I have not seen a stretch like this in a while with a team being this, like, we just haven't gotten a good performance from this team in 3 weeks. Now, again, you've had 4 days off, so maybe, right, maybe they come out, like you would think in a normal situation with a normal team that they'd come out fired up today, but I just don't know that you can count on that with this Spurs team. Again, they lost by 38 to the Suns on Sunday. They lost by 18 to the Pelicans. They lost by 8 to the Thunder without a lot of their guys. 5 to the Lakers in the third time playing them in 4 games. 9 to the Lakers, 19 to the Pelicans, 30 to the Lakers, 22 to the Clippers, 18 to the Kings, 7. Like, and now we're literally at November 14th, like, you know, so they haven't played good basketball in so long. I'm kind of going in circles. And the Rockets haven't been playing poorly. It sounds weird that, like, you would say, hey, I'd give the Rockets more than 4.5 points against the Spurs. But I think it's kind of the reality of the situation right now. So I definitely lean to the Rockets. We'll see if I play it. But you would think that they get it done today. They're just playing a lot better basketball. All right, last game of the day is the Nuggets and the Blazers. This is probably the game that most people are excited for. And we again have a lot to break down here. The Nuggets are struggling. They're struggling right now. But again, it's never really, unless it's the Spurs, I guess, it's never really as bad as it seems, and it's generally never really as good as it seems. But a tough three-game stretch for the Nuggets. They go into Atlanta, lose by 8 without Trae Young. They go into New Orleans, hang around for a half, and get blown out in the second half, and then lost a really tough game to the Dallas Mavericks. But again, Dallas was on a 3rd and 4 back-to-back. Nuggets had some time off, and it was first game back at the crib. So they're struggling for sure. And really, where it's starting right now is on the defensive end of the basketball. They are, I believe, as of a couple days ago, at least the 26th worst defense in the league. And all the other defenses up there with them are bottom feeders, are tankers, right? Gave up 116 to the Mavs, gave up 121 to the Pels, gave up 117 to the Hawks in the last 3 games. And yeah, they beat the Rockets in a back-to-back set. And yeah, they beat the Thunder and they beat the Clippers. But it's been a while since they've beaten a good team, a good, healthy team with their guys, right? And again, it comes back down to, and really, in my opinion, when you get star players back, how do you, you know, it takes a little bit to find that rhythm. And really, since Jamal and Jokic have come back from COVID, they've really only beat the Rockets at home, which most teams are going to be able to do that. That being said, this is still a really talented team that is eventually going to turn this around. And I think the books expect it today, right? You're giving them only a 1 point on the road, implies that they're 2 points better than the Blazers, right? So you're saying the books like them today, in my opinion, because they're saying, we think the Nuggets are 2 points better than the Blazers in this spot where they've lost 3 straight games and the Blazers have not played since, I believe, Sunday or Saturday. Sunday, right? So the Blazers haven't played 3 straight games, 3 straight days. They've had all the rest in the world, and the Blazers have looked good at home. They've had some games, just like every other team besides the Celtics, where they've taken a bad L. But more often than not, this is a competitive group. Now, again, we get to Dame coming back. He was out for a while, like a week or two, and now he's back. And then that first game, they responded well and beat the Pacers. But does that continue, right? You also have 3 days off to kind of integrate. It's also Dame Lillard, who I feel like he's already played with this team. He's already been out. And so I feel like maybe it's a little bit easier to integrate him. So I think there's things on both sides. I think if you're just going off the basketball being played right now, it's really hard to give the Nuggets 2 extra points here today. But at the same time, the Nuggets, I feel like historically they own the Blazers. And no one really can guard Jokic, but I think Nurkic really does struggle against someone like Jokic, who can get him into foul trouble. And I don't know. We'll see. I do think the Nuggets are going to get one eventually, and it very easily could be today. But I think it's just priced well enough that I think I got a layoff. And if I'm going to go anywhere, I think it's the Blazers team total over 114.5. I think that's where I'd go. Again, this Nuggets team just hemorrhaging points right now. not a good defense. And it's there's going to come a time where they have a good defense performance, and it could be today. But usually, you know, that's going to come at home. And the Blazers have a ton of scores that can get it going. Jeremy Grant, obviously, Damian Lillard, Anthony Simons. Those three guys are absolute snipers. And so I think that they score generally more than 114 here today. But I could see it going either way. That's my lean in this game. And I think it's going to be a pretty tight game that goes down to the wire here today. And you remember, they actually played early in the season, and the Nuggets were the better team for most of that game. And then Anthony Simons just went loco, just went completely psycho, and got the Blazers that win. So for me, guys, a small lean to the Clippers plus six, pretty strongish lean to the Rockets minus 1.5. Like, they just got to win this game. May just take them on the money line. Basically, you're fading a team that has not won a game in ages. They've won one game in the last month and a week, and hasn't covered in like 3 weeks. Yes, they've had 4 days off, but Devin Vassell's out. Like, it's just clear, right? Like, you're resting Devin Vassell when you haven't played since Sunday. Like, it's just clear this organization wants to go get Victor Wembanyama, and I don't blame them, to be honest. So I feel like the Rockets are at least, yeah, their front office wouldn't be mad if they got Victor Wembanyama, but they are at least, I think, trying to win some games and build somewhat of a culture with this team. So my fear also, though, is that, you know, Rockets don't bring the same energy that they do for the Suns or Sixers, because they see how bad the Spurs have been. But there's no questioning that the difference between those two teams right now is pretty vast, despite the records being pretty similar. Anyways, guys, I love you. I hope this helped. Big slate tomorrow. So I can't see myself having more than one, maybe two plays if things really line up in my head. But I wouldn't even be surprised if I laid off everything altogether in this slate. I do think Rockets are my favorite play. And I don't mind Blazers team total at all. And I honestly don't even mind Clippers. Let me take a look at the props there, because we are going to get plenty of guys out. Let's see if they are up. It's tough because you don't really know, I personally feel like I don't know where Paul George's minutes limit is going to be, right? It's a back-to-back. He was on a minutes limit yesterday. You'd assume he'd be on a minutes limit today. He could obviously get there in less minutes, but it's also a grinded out matchup, third and four. So I don't think betting over really for any of those props is smart business. Rocket Spurs, feel like it's all priced pretty. Let me take a look at Keldon. Keldon's gonna get a ton of shots today. He's been terrible. He hasn't been making shots, but he should get a ton of shots. All right, Keldon Johnson points. Yeah, they already know. 24.5. That's just priced up to the moon. Let me take a look at Jabari threes. Jabari threes over 2.5. That, my friends, might be a look. Jabari Smith gets a lot of hate, I feel like. But he's taking a lot of threes. Took 6 threes. He has hit over 2.5 threes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of his last 8. 7 out of his last 8. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Let me take a look at 3-point field goal percentage against. Holding the mic so I can only type with one finger. Okay, San Antonio Spurs, where are they in 3-point field goal percentage against last? Teams are shooting 40% from three against them. Yeah, I don't really know why that's plus 110, to be completely honest. I don't know why that's plus 110. It should play 30-ish minutes, right? Again, he's hit that. He was 3-6 last game. He was 0-2 against Golden State, but before that, 3-5, 3-6, 3-4, 3-8, 5-11, 3-9. I guess the thing is, like, you don't really even know about the volume. Like, if he shoots five threes, you don't really want to bet that. You're just hoping he drains them. But yeah, I don't think that's a bad look at all, guys. I don't think that's a bad look at all. Other than that, guys, that's where I'm at. Maybe Zach. How many minutes did Zach Collins play last game? I'm digging, guys. I'm digging. Just trying to find something. Zach Collins, 17 minutes. He was in foul trouble, though. 21 minutes the game before. Okay, he's low-key a dimer for this team. What's his assist prop at? 2.5 minus 173. Yeah, all right. Bucks are doing their job. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this helped you. And best of luck to whatever you play. We'll talk tomorrow. Peace.